let's go ahead and get started. My name is Allison Burnett, and I'll be the webinar facilitator for CIVME today. I am the Director of Professional Learning and Virtual Coaching for CIVME. I'm also an adjunct professor at the University of Houston downtown, where I work with students in the urban education departments. So these are students who are on the path to becoming teachers, which is very exciting. So just to say a few more things about CIVME so that you understand what CIVME is. It's an acronym that stands for Seeing is Believing Me. And it's our belief that whether you're being self-reflective with video, whether you're collaborating or coaching with video, that when we see our practices clearly and objectively, that's when we have the most improvement. And as Dr. Goree, I'm going to quote her right now, as she often says, video helps us to see our work clearly. And it's when we see ourselves clearly that we make the most improvement. Here at CIVME, we have a mission statement. It's really our passion statement. We believe that video is probably the greatest innovation of our lifetime in our profession. And our goal is to help folks leverage that video. We see ourselves as the bridge between the theory of using video and the practical implementation of using video. So we're the boots on the ground, we're where the rubber meets the road. Our expertise has been increasing in terms of how do we actually implement this? We might think it's a great idea, but when it comes to and how do you do it, sometimes we scratch our heads a little bit. So it's our mission to help folks understand how to leverage and implement that video. And that's one of our purposes today. So as we continue getting started here and thinking about using the CIVME platform as part of our coaching process in the 2017-2018 school year, I'm going to ask and answer a rhetorical question, and that is, why CIVME? And so CIVME is a technology company and a professional service provider, and we're going to show you in just a minute a short video that will give you some context and build some background for what we do here at CIVME. But just to say that, why CIVME and why are folks like Dr. Tanya Goree using our platform? And one reason is our user-friendly technology. We know that if the technology is not user-friendly, if it's complicated, if it's not reliable, then folks are less likely to use it. So CIVME was created by educators for educators with a workflow that we as educators need in mind. So whether we're recording a video, whether we're saving that video to the CIVME cloud, whether we're collaborating, being self-reflective, coaching or being coached, sharing or providing feedback, the CIVME platform is user-friendly in that workflow. Why CIVME? Because of our implementation expertise. Today's webinar is a great example of that. So we have Dr. Goree with us today because of her expertise in implementing this platform in a real world setting, which is a school. And so we pride ourselves in the last 4 or 5 years really becoming a thought leader in terms of implementation expertise. It's not just about buying the technology, it's about knowing how to implement it and use it. So our platform is very customizable. And even though I know that you're here because you want to use this platform as part of your workflow and part of your coaching process, there are still choices and decisions to make. And we are experts at helping you make those choices and decisions. So expertise in terms of implementation is one of the reasons to go with CIVME. In addition to that, we offer webinars and half-day, full-day in-person workshops to expand your understanding of how to use the platform in your specific workflow. And why CIVME? Finally, it's our ongoing support. It's not just about buying the technology, it's about using it successfully. We provide ongoing support in the sense that we provide weekly and monthly reports on your data use. We meet with you mid-year and end of year for a customer support meeting. We have a very robust help center with articles and videos. We have a manned help support center if you have those technology questions. So we know it's your implementation and your successful implementation is what our ongoing support is about. So I'd like to show you a very short video that's going to help to build some context and background around what we mean when we say CIVME is a video coaching and collaboration platform. Exactly what does that mean? So let's take a really quick look at this video. And as you're watching it, I want you to, of course, I have to give you a purpose for watching it. So as you're watching it, I want you to keep in mind, how is video being used here in this particular scenario? What does the workflow seem to be And let's just take a look at that. All right, so I hope that in watching that you got a sense of the workflow, from recording video to sharing that video to having conversations around that video, all part of the workflow, all part of the Sydney platform. So it's time to introduce Dr. Tanya Goree. I'm going to have her say some things about herself and her background in just a second. Before we do that, though, I want to congratulate her for a few things. These are the reasons we have her on today's webinar, by the way. First of all, she's going to share with you some very impressive data that she's accumulated over the last couple of years from the Texas Education Agency and with the growth of her school. So she'll be sharing that very soon. I also want to congratulate Dr. Goree. She was a speaker at the National ASCD Conference in Anaheim, California this past March, and she had a standing room only crowd there listening to her speak. It was extremely exciting to be there with her in that conference. And also coming up in the month of July, Dr. Goree is going to be a speaker at the National Principal Conference. That's going to be in Philadelphia this year. If you're going to be, it would be fun for us if you put in the chat, if you're planning on going to that National Principals Conference in July in Philadelphia, here just in a week or two, if you're going to that conference, would you let us know in the chat? And if you're going, we really hope you'll go to Dr. Goree's session. The session is titled Seeing It Clearly, Videotaping for Self-Reflection and Instructional Coaching. So if you're planning on attending that conference, we really hope you'll go by and meet Dr. Goree. Let her know that you're part of this webinar series. I'm sure she'd be happy to meet you. So Dr. Goree, if you'll take a moment to say a few things about yourself, let us know about your experience, your background, and anything else you think is relevant for us here today.
Well, hello, everyone, and I am so excited about this opportunity to share the experiences that my campuses, the two different campuses where I have been principal, the experiences we've had with video coaching. My experience as an educator includes 26 years. 15 of those years have been as an administrator, 7 as a building principal, 5 at my first campus, and 2 at my current campus. And I will tell you, we used video coaching on both campuses. For the last 2 years, we have been using SIDME. We were introduced to SIDME about 2 years ago. 3 years prior to that, we were using flip cameras. And but I believe in the instructional coaching process, the video instructional coaching process, so heavily that I was willing to use those flip cameras until I was introduced to SIDME, which completely transformed how we use the video coaching process. And I have said many times to my supervisors that I won't coach without it, because it really changed the way that we utilize that process. A little bit about my campus. I am the principal of a Title I campus. We serve an economically disadvantaged population of about 85%. Roughly about 85%, a very diverse population of Hispanics, African-Americans, and others. Our largest population is Hispanic, followed by African-American, and then others. So a very diverse population, a very high number of economically disadvantaged students. And usually with that comes some struggles, academic and behavior struggles. But through the use of video coaching, we have addressed those struggles with fidelity.
Thank you, Dr. Goree. And welcome. So off we go. We have a 9-part webinar series, and I know the graphic is probably a little challenging to read, but it gives you the sense of this as being a process. And this is a platform that is here to provide Dr. Goree with the opportunity to share her expertise and her knowledge regarding the successful implementation of video enhanced coaching to grow teachers and raise student achievement. So each webinar is specifically designed to guide you through the work that you should be completing in the month that follows that webinar. So today we're going to be sharing with you the things you should be doing in July as you prepare to roll out the video coaching model. And I got to tell you, I think Dr. Gorey has some homework for you as we get toward the end of this. So don't think that the summer is going to be quite as just as much fun as you thought. So it is about preparing for next month, sharing with you the tasks that you'll have to keep in mind as you go through this process with her. And so, Dr. Gorey, can we just give them a really broad, almost a broad synopsis of what we're going to be sharing with them over the next 9 months in this plan?
So the big picture is we will look at the instructional coaching model using video. That is the big picture. That is the purpose of this 9-part webinar. But more specifically, as I shared in my introduction, I've been using video coaching for the last 5 years. So I've had the opportunity to iron out all the kinks and tweak this process and really make it work well and efficiently for us. So we'll talk about building the capacity of your leadership team, calibrating what the cycles look like that we use here on my campus, the self-reflection, and then the 2 cycles with the coach. We'll talk about timelines, how to get buy-in from your staff, heavy coaching if that's necessary. If you need to continue this process more beyond those 3 cycles, we'll talk about heavy coaching, and then how to add layers to the coaching process. And lastly, well, not the last thing we'll talk about, but we'll also talk about Sydney, the huddles, how to use the video library and all the different aspects, the analytics, the benefit of using the analytics when you are using this video coaching platform with your staff. So those are some of the things that we will talk about throughout this 9-part webinar.
Thank you, Dr. Gorey. That's a great overview for us. So our webinar objectives for today, and remember today is really about successful implementation, right? Getting started with that foundation. And our 3 objectives for today are to have you, Dr. Gorey, share with us ways to assess and build a school's culture, building the capacity of your leadership team and the importance of those folks, and then preparing your first infomercial for rolling this out to your faculty. So we have a great webinar planned for you with those objectives. But before we get started, we do have a polling question. We do want to get our audience involved. And if you'll respond to this polling question, then we'll have Dr. Gorey look at the data that we generate and have some comments about that. So polling question number 1 is, how would you rate yourself regarding preparedness for video enhanced coaching? And we have 3 choices for you. Some clarifications needed, you're ready to get started, or you're already doing it, but maybe you need some fine tuning. So could you respond to our first polling question? We do want to get you involved in this process. The more we know about you and where you are in this process, the better we'll be able to meet your needs as we work through the 3 objectives for today's webinar. Another 20 seconds or so to respond to polling question number 1. How would you rate yourself regarding preparedness for video enhanced coaching? Dr. Gorey, as we're looking at that, I'm sure you're thinking about times in the past when we've asked somewhat similar questions and how folks have responded.
Yes.
All right, we're going to go ahead and publish that poll.
Wow.
So Dr. Gorey, would you do some processing of what you see there for our data?
Well, it looks like the largest poll is clarification needed. So my charge to you all is I strongly encourage you to ask as many clarifying questions as possible as we go through this process. I hope to paint a very clear picture of how we've used this on our campus. And if you ask those clarifying questions, then I'm certain you will be able to implement this video coaching process on your campus with fidelity. Those of you that are ready to get started, this 9-part series will essentially give you a coach or a mentor to help you as you walk through the steps of implementing this on your campus. Already implementing, it's nice to hear from others, the way the video coaching process is implemented on their campus, because you can always add layers to what you're doing or look at tweaks that may need to be made to what you are currently doing based on what someone else is doing. So this is a nice variety of participants who, you know, have a variety of experience or desire to join this video coaching process.
Thank you. So we'll go ahead and close out that poll. We're going to have a few more polling questions as we go through the day. And the next thing we want to do now is we want to do some sharing of data, which we talked about at the very beginning of the webinar. And I'm going to ask Dr. Garee, we're going to share some of the data that she's accumulated over the last couple of years with her school. And so off we go. I think when you see this data, you're going to really have a sense as to why we've asked Dr. Garee here to join us today and to do this webinar series with us as really the expert in terms of implementation and the use of video coaching to grow teachers and raise student achievement. So Dr. Garee, let's take a look at some of your data, and I'm going to let you talk us through this.
I joined the staff here at Francone in the 2015-2016 school year. So what you're seeing here are the results after 1 year of using this video coaching process. We are very proud of our discipline data and our academic data. As you can see, we had an overall decline in 68% in discipline. As you know, good instructional practices improve academics, but they also help with behavior. Students who are highly engaged are not likely to be disruptive in the classroom. So overall, we reduced our discipline by 68%, and classroom disruption, which we are extremely proud of, was reduced by 90% because good instructional practices were happening in the classroom. Looking at the teacher attrition rate, the year that I came, I had to hire quite a few teachers. But 1 year later, only had to hire 3.6%, 3.6 change in our staffing. So introducing this process to our staff for the very first time did not affect our climate in a negative way. Teachers stayed, they believed in the process, they bought into the process, and our data represents that. As far as our academics, we did experience academic growth, double-digit growth in every content area and every grade level. In the state of Texas, because I know we have participants that are outside the state of Texas, we do have a state assessment, and these are the gains from our state assessment, by content area and grade level. Again, looking closely at our instructional practices, going through this coaching process, using our three cycles for coaching, highly impacted academics and behavior here at Francone Elementary. The next slide is our Texas accountability summary. This comes from the state of Texas. And the thing that I'd like to point out on looking at the screen on the left was the year prior to my arrival. And on the right is the year that we implemented video coaching. As you can see across the top, it's distinction designations. This is the title in the ribbon. We earn 3 gold stars. What that means for the state of Texas, distinctions are awarded to campuses based on achievement and performance indicators relative to campuses that look like us, but means we performed at an advanced level. And we earned 3 distinctions that year. I want to quote the commissioner for the Commissioner of Education here in Texas. He said that earning 1 or more campus distinctions is noteworthy and should be a source of pride in the community. And we earned 3 after 1 year implementing this process. So we are very proud of, again, our academic gains, very proud of our reduction in discipline referrals and all the hard work from our staff and students.
Thank you, Dr. Garee. So folks, if you have any questions about the data, now's the time to ask those in the chat for us before we move on to our first objective of the webinar. We'll just give you about 30 seconds. If there's any questions regarding the data, we can type those in the chat. If not, we're going to move on to our first objective. And just to reiterate, this webinar is being recorded and we will share the link with those of you who are registered. All right, so I don't see any questions in the chat at this time, so we're going to move on. for our first objective. And objective one, again, remember that today's webinar, the subtitle really is about the successful implementation, right? Launching the successful implementation. So objective one, assessing and building your school's culture. So Dr. Gorey, my question for you as we tackle this first objective is, tell us what you mean by school culture.
Well, I view school culture as the way staff members work together. It's the set of shared beliefs, values, assumptions, the written and unwritten rules, the rules that shape and influence every aspect of how the school functions. Video enhanced coaching, in order to be successfully embedded in your culture has to have an aspect of continuous growth and improvement. And that's what we did here at Francone. We embedded it into our culture. To accomplish this, you have to share the why. Culture is centered on why. Why do we need to do this? Why is this going to help us? Teachers want to know the answers to those questions. In order to determine why there's a need for this process, you have to look at your data. Data determines everything. It drives everything. As I said earlier, we, as most Title I campuses, we were struggling academically and behaviorally. That was our why, because we needed to improve what we were doing. What does the data say specifically about your student performance? What does it say about student growth? It's not just a tool for Title I campuses, because everyone needs to grow. So what does it say about student growth? What does it say about student engagement? Engagement is different from growth. What is it? How engaged are your students on a day-to-day basis? What are your instructional practices look like? How much quadrant D instruction is happening in your classrooms? That's your why, and that's how you determine the need for using video enhanced coaching and embedding it within your culture. On the screen, you're looking at an employee perception survey. In CyFair, there is an anonymous employee perception survey that all employees are asked to complete. And it looks at how they view themselves as members of the campus, how comfortable they are. I'm not sure if you can read all of the details there, but what's highlighted are the percentages from the school year, the first school year when we introduced video enhanced coaching, the first year that I became principal here at Francone. And if you notice, all of our percentages improved. The lowest percentage there is 93%, but there are several that are at 100%. So introducing video enhanced coaching and expecting it to be a regular part of your campus culture will not impact your teachers, the way your teachers feel, their sense of belonging on the campus, if it is implemented the right way. So in the month of July, you should start working on your why. Why do you need to do this? Perform a cultural assessment. Look at those things in your culture that are working well, those things that are very positive, your assumptions and your beliefs that are positive and work to your campus's advantage. And celebrate those things. Use those factors as building blocks in order to springboard into video enhanced coaching. Plan how you will use them, how you get buy-in, but you also have to look at your hindrances, factors that or things within your culture that could hinder you from implementing video enhanced coaching. That's what you should be doing now. That's what you should be thinking about if you're looking at what the next step is when assessing your culture.
So Dr. Gorey, we have some questions in the chat. Let's just take a look at a couple of those if you don't mind. From Eric, the question is, what was your initial motivation for starting this coaching method?
The initial motivation for starting culture, and again, I started it at my previous campus, a very successful campus, also a Title I campus. I'd been there for a couple of years before I introduced this to my staff. So I knew that I knew my staff and they knew me, and I knew that they would be willing to start this process because there was a level of trust. We started it because we wanted to look at our instructional practices in the classroom. Using video, everyone's a coach. Every administrator coaches. That is our role. We are instructional coaches. But adding that layer with video allows there to be a different level of trust. It is where perception meets reality. It is the only way to actually have truth in the coaching process. It's not based on a recollection of my facts from my memory. It's actually based on what's captured on that video. So we started using video in order to improve the instructional practices in the classroom.
And another question for you is, was this the only initiative implemented? I'm guessing they're thinking in that first year at Francone.
It's not an initiative. It is part of our culture. This is what we do. It was just like you use guided reading and you use a balanced literacy approach, small group instruction. It is an expectation. It was not introduced as an initiative. It was introduced as, this is what we do for kids. This is what we do in order to have those good instructional practices. So video enhanced coaching became a part of our culture, not just an initiative.
And then Dr. Gorey, you referred to Quadrant D. So people need to know, you just got back from, is it the Bill Daggett conference, right? Yes. So you've been looking at that rigor and relevance framework. And so folks are asking, what is Quadrant D?
Quadrant D is where students are creating, evaluating, analyzing, and applying their learning in real world situations, predicting and in predictable situations and unpredictable situations. So it is that higher level of student learning. That's where Quadrant D is. Are your students able to analyze, evaluate, predict? Are they able to see beyond just the instruction that's happening right now?
Thank you so much. So I think we tackled all of the questions that folks were asking up to this point. So some great information in terms of assessing and building your school's culture. And even if you don't have a formal document like Dr. Gorey is displaying here to assess your culture, there are lots of creative folks out there who could come up with some questions that would be of value so that you could assess your culture. All right, let's go to our next polling question. So we want to get our audience involved and we want to find out some things about them in terms of their culture. So this question is asking, what's the most important element of culture that you currently have in place as it relates to what Dr. Gorey defined and what she talked about in terms of beliefs and norms and the why? What's the most important element of culture that you currently have in place? Is it agreed upon norms and expectations? Is it the teachers are receptive to change? Is it that there's a growth mindset at your school? Is it that your school is, there's a transparency? I think that is another way of saying there's a trust and an openness. And or is it something else? Is there some other element that you currently have in place that's really important to having the correct culture to begin to implement video enhanced coaching? We'll give you about 20 seconds to choose your response to that. Dr. Gorey, as they're choosing their response, if you had to choose one of those, the most important element to have in place for the culture that you're talking about today, can you do that? Can you choose just one?
It's difficult to choose one, but I would choose transparency. And I would choose transparency because you can always add additional layers to transparency. If you're transparent, if you're open and you're honest, I believe those others could fall in place. If you're transparent about why you need to change, that could help teachers become receptive to the change. It could help them develop that growth mindset. And if you're very transparent, it also will help them agree to norms and expectations as well. So I would choose transparency.
I thought you might. So let's go ahead and publish our poll. And so would you like to comment on what you're seeing there?
There are no right or wrong answers. And for those of you who have whatever your strength may be, I would definitely take that and build on that in order to get your teachers to reach that common agreement that video enhanced coaching is necessary in order for you to make impact instruction or impact academics the way that is necessary for kids.
Very good. All right, very nice. Thank you, Dr. Gorey. And I'm just checking the chat. I don't see any additional questions. So I think we'll move on to objective number two. So here we have a picture. I know that you're beaming with pride. This is the Franklin leadership team. And the second objective that we're tackling today, remember we have the webinar series is about impact now, but today is really very specifically about launching that, the implementation for success, the foundation, the first steps. So culture was one, and now building the capacity of your leadership team. So let's start with this. Dr. Goree, tell me who's on your leadership team and how are you using them in the process of video enhanced coaching?
Well, this picture includes my entire leadership team, but all of the members here are not members of our coaching team. My leadership team includes my assistant principals, the counselor, librarian, our behavior interventionists, and our instructional coaches and or instructional specialists. But my coaching team, there are 9 members from the picture that you see here that are part of my coaching team. 4 administrators and 5 instructional specialists or coaches. We have about a 6 or 7 to 1 teacher coach ratio because of the number of coaches that we have. Our coaches, just a little bit about our coaches, they are selected, how we pair our coaches and our teachers. Coaches and teachers are paired based on the skill set of the coach and the needs of the teacher. It is very important that coach is well versed in the needs of that teacher's needs. I know when I said that I have 9 coaches, there are leaders who are listening that, you know, don't have a team that's the same size. Your bandwidth is not the same as mine. I will tell you, again, I'm a Title I campus and we do have additional funds. And knowing that I was coming to a campus that was struggling academically, I chose to use my funds to add additional people to my coaching team. At my previous campus where I coached for 5 years, my team was much smaller. And our ratio there was about 10 or 12 to 1. And I use flip cameras. I will tell you, a team of 10 to 12 to 1 is not impossible with SIBME. SIBME allows you, because of it's a cloud-based program, so you can access your data anywhere that you have any Wi-Fi or internet connection in the comfort of your home or anywhere. I didn't have that option when I was at my previous campus before I used SIBME. We would literally plug in the flip camera, wait about 45 minutes, and sometimes overnight, depending on the size of the file, we just plug it in and leave it overnight. But we had, again, a much smaller core group of coaches, and we used 10 to 12, we had 10 to 12 teachers on our coaching roster. But that is very doable with the SIBME app. A couple of things I want to point out here. I told you about the platform and how it's very easy to use. So if your team is not as large as mine, I did that on purpose. I created a team that size on purpose because I knew that we needed to coach here. There's also virtual coaching through the SIBME app, or through the SIBME platform, I'm sorry. If you are not able to manage, if you're in a rural school district or it's only 2 people on your team, SIBME does have that option of virtual coaching, and they can work side by side with building leaders to coach alongside with you. It is important for me that everyone participates in this process. I was looking at the chat and I saw that someone said they were looking to start this with a group of teachers. I know a couple of principals who use this as choice, allow teachers to volunteer. And their results don't look the same. You don't get the same result if you make it optional, because the people that usually opt to videotape are the ones that are already doing well. Now, I do believe wholeheartedly that video is for everyone. It helps the master teacher. It helps the struggling teacher. And it helps the teacher who's just doing pretty good. So it's not that it's not a great tool for those star teachers, but it needs to be used for everyone. We don't use it as an option here. It is for everyone. You don't have a choice if you're going to do good things for kids. You don't have a choice if you're going to improve your instructional practices. It is a normal part of our culture. So just wanted to share that it is definitely doable if you have a team size of 10 or 12.
All right. And so let's talk a little bit about building that leadership team, the coaching capacity, and calibrating them, how you get that done?
So in the month of July, when we first started this process, and I'm glad we're having this webinar today because you have time, if you are ready to get started, if you are need more clarification, during the month of July, the books that are listed on the screen are resources that you can use to help calibrate and train your coaching team. We read as an entire staff as an entire coaching team, Building Teachers Capacity. That was our first choice. That was our first choice for looking at coaching because it's important that your coaching team is calibrated. Everyone has to be on the same page. Everyone has coaching experience, but we all have to coach for the same reasons or look for the same elements when we go into a classroom. So you can do it as a book study. You can do it as an independent study. That's strictly your choice. We chose the book study. And then we went to focus on teaching to enhance because that book is about video coaching. If you're already, if you already have something that you're using, that is wonderful. I would advise you or recommend that you look at the Jim Knight book, The Focus on Teaching, the second one listed on the screen, because it is specifically about using video to improve the instructional coaching practices. So it is important at this point or for the month of July that you look at what resources you're going to use in order to train your team. The team has to calibrate. We also watched or used some online videos, just random online videos that we used. And we each, after we did our book study, we each provided feedback for that on those videos. And then from there, had a collaborative discussion. Why did you give feedback about this? What did you see? Just an open discussion so that we could make sure our team was calibrated and everyone was on the same page with giving feedback. If your team is not cohesive, then the coaching process is not effective.
Very good. So there are a couple other books on that page, Dr. Gorey. I think you were telling us that The Coach Approach is on your summer reading list. Is that right?
Yes, it is. The Coach Approach is on my summer reading list. And I also, The Art of Coaching, I read that one as well. All of the books are a great resource for starting this process, continuing to enhance this process, needing a refresher for this process. Any of those books on the screen, I would highly recommend.
Very good. Yeah, I just got my Coach Approach in the mail, and I'm looking forward to the long weekend to get some good reading in. Now, folks are going to want to pay attention to the first two books to the left, Building Teachers' Capacity and Focus on Teaching, because in just a minute, Dr. Gorey is going to give you some homework for the month of July, and those two books are going to figure prominently in that. She loves it. Look at her. She loves that homework. All right, let's move on and let's see if there are any questions before we jump into objective three. Let's go to the chat and see if there were any questions relevant. I'm going to just go back up for 1 second. Any questions relevant to the into the calibration of your leadership team or into the building the capacity of your leadership team or how you are using them? So let's see, Dr. Gorey. There is a question about teacher buy-in, which I think we're going to be addressing in objective three. Do we see anything else there that's relevant to objective two, how you're using your leadership team?
Can I go back and add something while you're looking at those questions? When looking at how to prepare for July, as your leadership team is being trained, as you are collaborating on how to give feedback, you should also look at some instructional guarantees. What do you absolutely guarantee will happen in the classroom every day? Because those are the things that your coaching team will go out and look for when they're coaching teachers. Also, what are your non-negotiables? What is required to happen in classrooms and in certain content areas? That's something else that your coaching team should collaboratively come up with and include teachers in that process. When we wrote our non-negotiable expectations, we included teachers in that process so they would be aware of what we were expecting and they would be able to give input and buy-in. They also helped us with the instructional guarantees for what will happen in every classroom every day. So those two things should also be on the agenda for the month of July to work on.
Very good. And so we do have a couple of questions in the chat. There's one that we can see here from Derek. We have a small staff, but I would like to have them working together as a coaching team. How do you suggest choosing a team from the teaching staff?
a team of coaches?
Yes, I think he's saying, I'm guessing that he's wanting to maybe build the capacity of some teachers to do coaching as well.
Oh, and that model is possible. That is highly possible. It's all in training and calibration. The instructional specialists and the instructional coaches are by title classroom teachers who have been moved into a leadership role. So it is very possible to train teachers, even classroom teachers, to do this. Calibration is important. Training is important. Making sure you all are looking for the same things, those instructional guarantees and those non-negotiables. So if you have teacher leaders who are ready to coach, it is highly, highly recommended that you do that same process that you would use with your leadership team with that coaching team.
Excellent. That's a great use of your resources. We have another question that's come in as well. Here's the question, Dr. Gorey. It is, how does coaching impact the other responsibilities of the leadership team members?
Well, with SIBME, and I am just 100% honest with this, with SIBME, it is not time consuming. If that's the angle that the person is asking. I hope I'm answering your question correctly. If not, please resubmit it. Because of the cloud-based platform, it is not time-consuming at all. The teachers can either invite you into huddles and send the video to the huddle, or you can go out and use your iOS or Android device and actually record in the classroom. And we're going to talk about those specifics in a later webinar. But it's not time consuming at all using the SIBME platform. Now, I will tell you, at my previous campus, when we used the flip cameras, we did have to manage our time very well, because it did take quite a bit of time for those videos to download and for us to roll them back, rewind them, and try to give the teachers feedback specific to a certain time. SIBME allows you to give time-stamped comments within the video. While you're watching it, you can start typing and that comment will pop right up on the screen at that time. So it does not take a lot of time away from the other expectations. But coaching, again, is the responsibility of the building leaders, and using video just enhances that.
All right, we have a couple more questions here, Dr. Gorey, and we know that administrators do have the lunchroom duty and the bus duty and all those duties, and I'm sure that that question probably has a little bit of something to do with that as well. So here we have another question for you. Would you make this an option, or perhaps even a requirement, even in a school whose culture is not so positive at this time? So I'm guessing this is coming from a school that the culture is not as positive. Would you make it an option, or would you make it a requirement?
Requirement. I don't believe my culture was great when I got here. But because when we talk about the infomercial, because we took that opportunity, that one shot, that one opportunity to introduce it the right way and to explain what we're going to do, why we're going to do it, how we're going to do it, be very, very transparent and be very consistent with what we said, it helped move my culture, shift it into a more positive direction, and teachers bought in. So if you want to impact academics, if you want to change student outcomes, if you want to improve your data, it has to be, from my perspective, and some would probably argue differently, but from my perspective, it has to be required of everyone.
Thank you, Dr. Gorey. We do have several more questions that we're going to take right now. So here in the chat, we have a question about the, Dr. Gorey, you mentioned pairing teachers and coaches based on the teacher's need, and I think also the coach's expertise. Did you have coaches focus on or be trained in specific aspects?
My coaches are content specific, two for reading, two for math, and one for science. So I chose content specific coaches. And when we pair teachers based on their needs and the expertise of the coaches. The administrators are pretty well versed in content area, so we can coach any teacher, but sometimes administrators have preferences. Some prefer reading, language arts, or math or science, and that's how we pair our teachers and coaches.
And then we have a question from a new principal. New principal hasn't met the staff yet. Can they implement this in September?
Yes, That is exactly what I did when I joined the Francone staff. I joined the staff 2 years ago and I did not know the staff members here, but I knew that video enhanced coaching impacted instruction. We were a struggling campus. We had low test scores and high discipline referrals. And I introduced it on the very first day I met the staff in August. Had not had a whole group meeting with that staff. That was our very first time together. Our very first day together, I introduced video coaching as the process that we will use after I talked about the data and told them the why we needed to do it, shared the data, very transparent about what we needed to do, and took a very transparent look at where we currently were and where we needed to go, and got the buy-in from the staff. So yes, to that question.
Okay. Another question is, everybody, when you say everybody participates in video enhanced coaching, does that include teachers or just core subject teachers, like just the language arts, just the math, just science, just social studies, or does all mean all?
All means all. Every teacher of record, every interventionist, anyone who sees kids, anyone who works with kids throughout the day participates in video coaching.
Okay, thank you. All right, I think we have tackled the questions from objective two, and we love, there's one more question we'll go to, and then we'll move on to objective three. Just to clarify, the coaching team is not necessarily focused on the same indicators. I may coach on instructional activities and centers. Another coach may be focused on environment or classroom management based on student need. Is that correct?
That is correct. When I say you have to calibrate, you have to have those instructional guarantees. I can tell you quickly what my instructional guarantees are. Content objectives are posted and integrated in the lesson and assessed with feedback from the students. Students are using academic engagement. Students using academic language. Students are engaged and student voice is a priority. Technology is integrated. Small group learning with purposeful talk is obvious, and critical writing is happening in every content area. Those are the instructional guarantees. Those are the things we look for within the content of whatever the teacher is teaching. And then there are specific things that we do not negotiate on when it comes to the reading content, or students will use manipulatives in the math classroom. In the science classroom, they will do hands-on science experiments. The kids will actually do the experiment, not be observers, but be actual participants. So yes, when you are in the classroom coaching that teacher, whatever that content is, you are coaching specific to that content, but looking for those guarantees and those things that we don't negotiate on.
Thank you so much. All right, let's move on to objective number three, which I think folks are excited to hear about. So objective three is about preparing what you call the infomercial. Mm-hmm. And here we have a picture of your staff. This was taken about a year ago, probably, yes, receiving the superintendent's incremental gold growth award, which I hope you'll tell us more about. And then I hope you'll define for us what you mean by infomercial and tell us why it's so important to have one as we roll this out to our faculties.
Well, the superintendent's incremental gold growth award, the superintendent gives out three awards here in Cypress Fairbanks. You get bronze, silver, or gold, and it's based on the incremental growth, the amount of growth that your campus makes within a school year. And I honestly thought, well, I'm sure we'll get the bronze level, you know, because we had some growth, but was totally surprised and completely elated along with my staff when we were actually awarded the gold level performance based on the amount of growth that we made within that one school year. So this is us at a portion of my staff at a board meeting receiving that gold level performance award. So a very exciting time for us and something else that we are quite proud of. As far as the infomercial goes, so this is basically your one shot, the one opportunity to introduce video enhanced coaching to your staff and get the buy-in for the buy-in and a common agreement to embed it within your culture. What's shared in the infomercial cannot change, but you continue to add layers. It is your opportunity to answer the who, what, when, where, how, all of those questions. What's very important to note here is your leadership team should think about every question someone would have when you're going to introduce this to your staff. We sat down and I said, I had a list of questions and I said, here are my thoughts. This is what I'm thinking the staff may ask. What do you all think? And we came up with a list of questions. And from that, we embedded those answers within the presentation when we talked about introducing this. Again, this was a staff that I was not familiar with, a staff that I was brand new to, but I knew the urgency that was needed here. And I knew for sure that we needed to video coach. So you answer those questions within your presentation, within your infomercial, so that you can have a successful implementation. You know, sometimes there will be people in the room that can raise their hand, ask a question, and derail everything that you just talked about. So you avoid that by saying it before they can, and then sharing the why you're doing it. They wanted to know, some of the questions my staff wanted to know is, who owns the video? Who's going to be my coach? Is it required? Is it legal? In the state of Texas, we did check with our attorney, with our district's attorney, and if we're using it for professional growth, absolutely it is. Those of you who are not in Texas, who may be in union states, you may need to check with your instructional support center or your district's attorney to make sure that video enhanced coaching is allowed for the purpose of professional growth. It is not used for punitive purposes. It is strictly for coaching. You have to let them know, or I let the staff know, why we chose video, that it was not going to be used for evaluations. That's always a question that they want to know. Is it going to be part of my evaluation? And it absolutely is not. Our coaches and our evaluators are not the same person. If I coach a teacher, I do not evaluate that teacher because the lines can never cross. There has to be a level of trust, a high level of trust. And so we don't allow administrators to coach and evaluate the same person. So we covered every aspect that could cause resistance. You cover every aspect that could cause resistance in your infomercial. You talk about it all. Don't introduce it as a choice. It's not a choice. It is an expectation. Professional learning is not a choice. Professional learning is an expectation.
Thank you, Dr. Gorey. So let's give a second for folks who want to ask questions in the chat. And as we're waiting for that, I'm just going to ask my own question. I know you've said it, but it's a good chance to reiterate it. So you, throughout the course of the year, you actually take your teachers through a cycle of 3 coaching cycles. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Each cycle has a different purpose to it. Yes.
Each cycle has a different purpose. The first cycle is self-reflection, which is what we're going to talk about in webinar 2, because I believe that self-reflection is one of the greatest forms of professional growth. If you can't see that you need to change, you won't change. But being able to watch that video, and it's so amazing. And I'm certain that if members of our audience today start this process, they will have the same experience when the teachers will come and say, oh my gosh, I thought so-and-so, but what actually happened was, and it'll be those master teachers who do that. It'll be the struggling teachers who do that. It'll be those teachers that are just good enough that will do that. Everyone has that aha moment when they actually watch themselves on video. So self-reflection is one of the most important forms of professional growth. And then our next 2 cycles are with the coach. One of them, the teacher leads the goals. And then the third round, the coach leads the goals with the teacher based on the other coaching experience that they've had.
Thank you. So I don't see any questions in the chat. We are going to move on. We will have a chance to continue asking questions. We do have a polling question for you at this point. So Dr. Gorey said we have to anticipate all the questions the teachers could ask when you roll this out. So your infomercial covers all of those things and you don't want anyone derailing you during the meeting. So here's our polling question. What faculty raised question do you most fear being asked when you roll out video coaching? Is it the question is this going to be used against me? Who is going to see it? Is it part of my evaluation? Is it legal to videotape? or why do I need to be videotaped? My kids are already doing well. So those are your choices. What question of those that we posed here would you fear the most hearing during your infomercial and when you roll this out to your teachers? We'll give you about 20 seconds to respond. We're still checking the chat to see if anyone has questions regarding objective 3. And just another 10, 15 seconds here to populate. I think the lesson, Dr. Gorey, is just preparation, meticulous preparation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Prepare, troubleshoot, and prepare for any and everything that you think might happen, and your rollout, your infomercial will go well.
Okay. And while we're waiting to populate that, to publish the results of that poll, we do have a question. Do you coach the same group of teachers for the entire year, or do you change coaches with each cycle?
The same group of teachers for the entire year. The teachers are assigned to a coach for the entire year. And I will tell you, we recommend the 3 cycles, but because of the relationship the coaches establish with the teachers, oftentimes the teachers will send a lesson, a 45-minute lesson, or they'll send a 30-minute small group lesson or something of that nature to the coach and said, hey, I tried something new. Can you provide feedback for me? That's the type of trusting relationship that has developed between the teachers and the coaches. So we recommend the 3 cycles. A lot of teachers continue asking for feedback throughout the year. And it's not just the 3 cycles and we're done. We're constantly in there, constantly developing those relationships, encouraging teachers, making sure that we are following up on those areas that of growth for them, and acknowledging those things that are going very well. So it is the same person all year. And I will tell you, some teachers at the end of the year request their same coach for the next year, although we do shake it up every year and give them a different coach.
Thank you, Dr. Gorey. Let's go ahead and post the polling results. What question would you fear most? Dr. Gorey, do you have any comments for that?
I was certain that the last question, why do I need to videotape? My kids are already doing well. I knew that was going to be the question that had the most concerns. And you answer that in your infomercial. Everyone grows. Again, when I said, how engaged are your students? Are you asking, are your students functioning in quadrant D? Everyone can grow from videotaping. Master teachers, it prevents them from being complacent. Because after you've done well for so long, sometimes you don't continue to learn and grow and bring in new ideas. You continue to use those same things. So it works for master teachers. It works for average teachers because it helps move them to the next level. And for struggling teachers, it's obvious why it helps them, because it improves their craft. So make sure that you give a clear explanation of why they need to videotape, even if the kids are doing well. Everyone needs to grow. The kids can still benefit from videotaping, even if they're doing whatever their description of well is.
Thank you, Dr. Gorey. So on we go, and we'll close out those polling results. We do have a question in the chat. We're going to get back to that in just a second. But I do want us, I know we're getting close to our end time here, and Dr. Gorey is very excited about sharing your homework and explaining and discussing that. So Dr. Gorey, would you please tell them what they need to do before our next webinar, which is August the 1st?
Well, for the next webinar, the things listed on the screen are important for you to do. If you're going to follow this step-by-step process over the course of the 9 webinars, then there's some homework that you have to do. If you have not already read a book, if you're not well versed in the coaching process, then reading the book, Focus on Teaching, is definitely going to help you prepare for that process. Again, I said, if you have not, or you've already read the Jim Knight book, you can go back and refresh on that book, or I would suggest reading both of them. That definitely would be my suggestion. The culture check. We do ours through an employee perception survey. You can just look at a collection of data. You can talk to, do whatever type of survey that you deem appropriate. If it's just collecting information through conversations, or look at the things that are going well and make sure you create a plan for how you're going to use them to impact the things that are not going well in your culture so that you can introduce this video enhanced coaching. Think about who's going to coach, what that process is going to look like. Do you need to add some layers? Do you need to bring in some teacher leaders? A couple of people talked about that. That is highly possible to bring in those teacher leaders who are already doing a great job. You do have to establish that trust with those teacher leaders and the teachers that they're going to be coaching. Start preparing how you're going to calibrate. What are you going to use? Are you going to use online videos? Are you going to actually go and observe teachers? If you want to start this in September, you might want to go with the online video process, but calibration is important. What are your instructional guarantees? What are your non-negotiables? You need to think about that and collaborate with your team in order to get those non-negotiables and those instructional guarantees listed. And then work on the first draft of your infomercial. The most important part of that infomercial is what questions your teachers might have. Answer those questions. Tell them why. They want to know why. You have to put the why in your infomercial, and you have to answer all the questions that your teachers might have about using this process.
Thank you, Dr. Gorey, for that homework assignment due August the 1st. So part two of our webinar series is going to be August the 1st, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as Dr. Gorey said, the focus is going to be on preparing for that first coaching cycle, cycle one, which is the self-reflection cycle. And so we do want to invite you to be sure you register for that particular webinar. Dr. Gorey has really already talked to us a good bit about what's going to be happening in that webinar. And I do want to say also that as we go deeper and deeper into the webinar series, we really are going to involve more and more of the SIDMI platform and the use of the SIDMI platform and showing her workflow within the SIDMI platform. And so to that end, we do want to say that webinar one, of course, today was open to all registrants. Webinar two will be as well. That's the August 1st. And then for those webinars in the future, you'll need to be a pro member of Justin Bader's Principal Center. You'll need to be a user or adopter of the SIDMI platform in order to move forward with webinar three and on, because, as I said, of the integrated nature of the message that Dr. Gorey is going to share with the platform. It wouldn't really make a lot of sense for you from webinar three forward to be part of the conversation if you're not using the platform, since it's going to take more of a front and center stage in what we're doing with you today. If you'd like, you may sign up for a 60-day free trial of SIDMI so you can get to know the platform. Normally it's a 30-day free trial, but because you're on the webinar today and we do appreciate your time, you can sign up for a 60-day free trial. You can contact us in the following ways. If you'd like to schedule a demo of the platform, we'd love to do that for you. If you'd like to visit the website to learn more that way, there it is for you, www.sidmi.com, or if you'd like more information about the free trial, you can contact us in that way too, info@sidmi.com. We do have one final polling question. I know we're a little bit after our time here, so I understand if you need to leave. We certainly do understand that, and we certainly do appreciate your being with us today, but we are going to stay on a bit longer to answer any questions for those of you who are continuing to join us, and we are going to post that final polling question for you at this time. So the last question of our webinar: what information or what idea resonated most with you today? Was it the importance of culture? Dr. Gorey defined culture for us and talked about the importance of having the right culture in place and building that culture during the month of July. Was it the importance of calibration of coaches? One thing we know from research is that the first thing we have to do when we're calibrating is agree on what is good instruction. And so that's the calibration forces us to align ourselves with the definition of what is good instruction look like. Was what resonated with you the importance of creating your infomercial or your pitch? Was it identifying a platform to power your coaching model? Because you certainly can start off doing it yourself, as Dr. Gorey did several years ago. You can try doing all the do-it-yourself things you want. You can start that way. We don't think that you'll keep doing things that way. It's just too time-consuming, and we get too busy with other things. So maybe it's identifying that you need to use a platform, or was there something else? So we're letting that poll populate. And while we're doing that, we're going to go to the chat. Michelle asks the question. Oh, nope. Let's see. There was a question about, somebody said, I'm a first year instructional coach. Can you give me some advice?
My advice for a first year coach is the same as I've given the entire audience. Make sure that you are well versed in the coaching process. Make sure that you read that book, Building Teachers' Capacity, and you read Focus on Teaching by Jim Knight, and then add those other two books as you see fit, or as you have time to. That would be your start. You need to definitely have a strong, solid start. Train your coaching staff, calibrate. List those instructional guarantees, talk about the things that are not up for negotiation, and then introduce this process well to the teacher so you are not met with resistance. I was not met with any resistance when I introduced this to my staff, a team of people who had not had a previous relationship with me. And actually, I was their fourth principal in 6 years. So they had been through quite a bit of change, and we introduced this process and got buy-in the very first time. So make sure that you use your one shot to get it right.
We're publishing the results of the last polling question. What information resonated most with you today? Dr. Gorey, do you want to process that?
The culture is important. Absolutely. Culture is important and calibration is important. All of these are important, equally important to me, because they all carry a bit of merit that support one another. But culture is absolutely important, and that I agree 45% in the calibration. So you can get them to agree with it, to be on board, to embed it in your culture. But if your coaches are not calibrated, then your process will not have an effective outcome. And that pitch has to be good. Create that infomercial.
That's right. That's that one on the homework list. So Dr. Gorey, I don't see any additional questions in the chat. We're going to wrap this up at this time. I want you to help me in thanking Dr. Gorey for taking her time to work with us in terms of planning this and putting it together and then presenting it today, when I'm sure maybe it might have been a day off for you. I'm not sure.
Yes, it is.
So thank you so much, Dr. Gorey. Thank you for joining us on the webinar. Don't forget to register for the second part of the webinar series, August the 1st. We'll see you then. Have a restful weekend. And thank you, Dr. Gorey. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. I look forward to everyone joining us again.
Great. Some folks are going to be joining you in Philly, so look forward to seeing them there.